Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you anytime we choose. And it is our fault that we don't come more often. You're always so willing and happy to receive us. Father, as we bow today, we ask you again, grant us your Spirit abundantly, that he may lead us into truth. Because truth is revealed through the Spirit, and the Spirit alone. So bless our study. Grant me the words to speak according to Exodus chapter 4, verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Teach me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a saying, better late than never. And I'm sure you've heard it. And many people use it to excuse an addiction they have for lateness. The title of this afternoon's presentation, Better Late Than Never, may be too late. There are some things that should be done immediately and not put off. Because procrastination is not one of the spiritual gifts that are recorded in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. It is not a gift of the Spirit. It is a gift of the enemy. And so many people have received this gift very willingly and make no effort to give it back. But procrastination, when I was in school years ago, I had a book called The Student's Companion. And I grew up under the British system, my earliest years of education. And we have to learn a lot of proverbs. I think you call them proverbs or sayings or maxims or axioms. A stitch in time, saves nine. And make hay while the sun shines, look before you leap. And people in glass houses should not throw stones. And one of them was, it had to do with lateness, and it just walked out of my head. The one I was thinking about just left my head. But the procrastination, is the thief of time. That's the one. Procrastination is the thief of time. And it really is the thief of time. As a counselor at a medical school, the University of Michigan, and both the undergraduate campus and the medical school, I was constantly dealing with students who were very bright, but could not express the full range of their genius because their genius did not extend to how to use time. And God gave every man, every woman 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. And the brightest people, the most productive people on the face of the earth, don't have 25 hours in a day. They still have 24 and 7 days. Excuse me. And some of them are Seventh-day Adventists, so they just work 6 days. And they accomplish a lot because they use time wisely. Procrastination is one of the evils that bedevil God's work because we put off, and the only program we support by putting off God's work is the work of the devil. We must learn to act and to act quickly when we see the right thing to do. We must learn to be decisive. And to cut back our discussions and our negotiations with God, we must learn to act. In the book of John, chapter 8, there is a discussion between Jesus Christ and the scribes and Pharisees. And I love reading about Christ and the scribes and Pharisees. Sometimes I find their exchanges quite funny because I don't think there's one exchange between Christ and a group of Pharisees that was positive, that was friendly. They were always in battle, and the battle were always started by the scribes and the Pharisees. And they have this verbal battle in John chapter 8. And in verse 37, Jesus says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. By the way, let me pause and say, it is important that God's word finds a place in us. That is not saying that we must understand everything. It's important to have a heart that loves to receive God's word. God told those scribes and Pharisees, I know ye Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. And the reason they were trying to murder Jesus, his word was not welcome in their hearts. In John chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus says, the time cometh when those who kill you will think they're doing me service. It is a dangerous thing not to have a love for the Word of God. And so he said in John 8:37, I know ye Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. In verse 38, he says, I do that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have heard, or you do. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. And they said to him, in verse 39, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And they were right, physically. Physically they were right. Abraham was their father. Jesus said to them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. If you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you would relate to me the way Abraham related to me when I appeared to him hundreds and hundreds of years ago. In other words, the proof of who your father is your behavior and your relationship to me. Now, why did I use that verse? As we talk about better late than never, maybe too late. I want to go back to the life of Abraham, and if you've heard me speak more than three times, you must know I love the life of Abraham. And point out one aspect of his life that we should copy. There are many things about him we should copy, his faith, his mature faith, but there's this one part of Abraham's life. It seems to have been a habit, a practice, a custom of Abraham that is not mentioned at all, but needs some exposure. It needs to be placed on a billboard for Seventh-day Adventists. And it has everything to do with better late than never, maybe too late. Now, on the principle that if ye were the children of Abraham, ye would do the works of Abraham, then let us endeavor to be the children of Abraham by emulating this particular aspect of the life of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 19, let's read from verse 24. Genesis 19, reading from verse 24, this chapter chronicles the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had told Abraham in chapter 18 that he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had bargained for the city or the cities, and he wasn't very successful because God could not find 10 righteous people in Sodom. And so God sent his two angels down to destroy the city. And in verse 19, reading from verse 24, the Bible says, then the Lord rained from heaven, brimstone and rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. It was total destruction. Verse 26 says, but Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now in verse 27, and Abraham got up when? Early when? In the morning. To the place where he stood before the Lord. Abraham got up early in the morning because God had told him in chapter 18 he would destroy these cities, but he'd save Lot. Abraham knew that. Abraham got up early in the morning, and the Bible says, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and looked and beheld, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Abraham got up early to see what God would do with Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not wait. He didn't procrastinate. He rose early in response to what God had said the day before. Early. Now, is this an isolated case in the life of Abraham? Because we should not build a lifestyle on an isolated case. In chapter 21, this is the chapter that tells us about the driving out of Hagar and Abraham's first son, Ishmael. And this is a chapter that's a powerful argument against polygamy. The Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 21, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the Bible says, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And the Lord said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman shall I make a nation, because he is thy seed. I won't ignore him, but he's not the one I want. Now in verse 14, after God gave Abraham instructions in verse 12, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, the Bible says in Genesis 21:14, and Abraham did what? Rose when? Early in the morning. He did not hesitate. The first chance Abraham got, Abraham acted on what God told him to do in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on his shoulders and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Abraham had reached the place in his life where he was responding immediately to what God asked of him. Now, these are two incidents. Can we develop a lifestyle on two incidents? Let's find the third one. Better late than never, may be too late. Abraham, when he reached a point of maturity in his life, did not practice the principle of better late than never. Abraham's principle was better always early. Genesis chapter 22. Reading from verse 1. The very next chapter. And after these things, the Lord did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. He said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Now, how does verse 3 begin? And Abraham did what? Rose up early in the morning. Now, this can't be happenstance, coincidence, or just, this was Abraham's practice. He had come to the place where an immediate response to God's instructions was his way of life. Abraham rose early in the morning to respond to God. Now, I don't know if God would ever ask you to sacrifice your son. I don't think he will. But if God would ask you to do something really drastic, or me, would I rise early in the morning and get about the business of doing what God said? Or would I run to the testimonies to find quotations that show, well, this can't be God speaking to me? Would I try to twist Bible verses out of shape so I can find an argument to back away from doing what God said? The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men and the child and claimed the wood for the burnt offering. And he rose and went unto the place which God had told him. Early. There's a text that we love which says, behold, what? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is a nowness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must understand that the best time to respond to the call of Christ is when the call comes. And a discussion of the call is hazardous to us, because a discussion will permit the enemy to come in and provide artificial reasons why we should not obey God. We must learn to rise up early in the morning and go about the business of God as He, in His divine wisdom, has bidden us to go. There is no room in the gospel for hesitation, for delay, for procrastination, for these things express a lack of faith. And so God told Jonah, we know Brother Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach to them, perhaps they'll repent. Did Jonah rise up early in the morning to go to Nineveh? He rose early in the morning. Yes, I'm sure he did. But it wasn't to go to Nineveh. It was to run from Nineveh. And there was a delay? Yes. And because of the delay, Jonah found himself in deep, deep trouble that I'm sure he regretted for the rest of his life. To delay obedience to God's word is to deprive ourselves of the blessings that come with heartfelt obedience. For the moment a person begins to obey God, it is that very moment that God's blessings or additional blessings come. For as we are now, whether we serve God or not, we benefit from God's goodness. But the special blessings that come to the obedient, they come immediately as they continue. God honors immediate response to his word. That's the way Jesus is. When Peter was sinking, he said, "Lord, save me." If you read the Gospel of Mark, see how many times you see the word straight away or immediately. Straight away or immediately. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as acting immediately. As soon as the need arose, Jesus acted. So when Peter said, "Lord, save me," the Bible says immediately or straight away, he saved him. Christ could have paused and said, "Well, let me examine the reasons why you're drowning." The moment Adam sinned, Ellen White tells us, the moment he sinned, the very instant, the very microsecond he sinned, Jesus Christ became the substitute. That's why he was not wiped out immediately. The very moment, as soon as there was sin, there was a Savior. There was no hesitation on the part of God, no calling an angelic council, the sons of God, to present themselves before the Father to discuss this. It was instant. It was immediate. The minute we say, "Lord, I am sorry, forgive me," in that instant, Christ wipes the sin away and removes it from our lives and responds to us as though we had not committed that sin. It is beyond belief, but must be believed. God is an instant God when it comes to our salvation. He's an instant God when it comes to our forgiveness. He's an instant God when it comes to answering prayers that are offered according to his will. If you say, "Father, I need your Spirit to help me," he will send the Spirit. Adam White says, "God will send every angel to help someone who wants to resist the temptation. He won't wait. He acts immediately." There are sometimes he makes us wait, yes. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be unbalanced. Yes, he makes us wait. But the matters that are essential for our salvation, God does not delay, and God does not wait. Because in his moment of delay, the enemy may steal a march upon God. And so there, those of you who have heard the messages today, you're thinking, "I need to do something about my Sabbath observance." When? Will you rise up early in the morning? Some of you may say, "Well, I need to do something about my sacrificial giving. I really haven't given until it hurts." When? Do you need to discuss it? With whom? "Oh, I need to do one thing or the next." When? There are so, you've heard the saying, the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions. That no one stumbles into hell. People walk into hell on a paved road, smooth as glass. Because I intend to do that, and I intend to do that, and if God spares my life, I will do that, and you're living while you say that, and I want to do that, and I intend, if I have the time, I'll do that. And they're all good things, but procrastination has them, and they never see the light of fulfillment. And this goes beyond our spiritual lives. Some people say, "You know, I want to go back to school." You've been saying that for 15 years. "I need to go back to school." The school hasn't moved. They haven't shut it down. It hasn't burned down. There wasn't an earthquake. It's still there. There are still grants and whatever else are available to those who want to go to school, but no action. No action. On how someone can live a life on a seesaw, or what do you call it, a teeter-totter. For years, no decision. No decision whatsoever. And we serve a decisive God. We must not confuse God's mercy with indecisiveness. God is decisively merciful. God is a decisive God. And I love Ellen White's expression, no sooner was there sin than there was a Savior. You know, there's a one of the duties of the priest in the sanctuary was to change the showbread on Sabbath. And I was reading about it in a book, and I was informed that the change was the blink of an eye change. When the high priest removed the old bread, it was done in such a way that the moment the old bread left physical contact with the table, the new bread made physical contact. So that not even for a microsecond was there no bread on the table of showbread. That's how the change was made. Here's the old bread, here's the new, here's the old, and it's on. That's immediate. That's quick. That instant. My brothers and my sisters, there's some decisions we are delaying for reasons that perhaps are unknown to us. But any decision that has to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ should not be delayed. In my prior message, we talked about a total surrender of the life to Jesus Christ. You can't delay that kind of decision because you may not have a chance tomorrow. Many of us engage in procrastination because we somehow feel we have a guarantee on many more years. And so we make periodic withdrawals on the count. I have 40 more years. Doesn't the Bible say 70? And if by reason of grace we have 10 more, so I'm just 40, I have 40 more years. So we trust that. And yet every day we take up the newspaper, the obituary section of people who were surprised that they died. I'm quite serious. We must understand that God has guaranteed a long life to no one this side of eternity. The life is coming. At any moment, the most faithful Christian can drop dead. God has not guaranteed He'll keep you from accidents on the highway. He has not guaranteed that. No matter how much we say, grant me traveling mercies, faithful Christians die in car accidents. This church suffered a tremendous tragedy when Dr. Hazel died several years ago in a car accident. Lost a tremendous scholar, a child of God. I understand that Ben Carson has cancer. I understand that Ben Carson has cancer of the bones. In advanced stage, a child of God, he may be dead next week. We've lost loved ones. We were shocked to hear certain people just died. The man who started a running craze in the United States, Jim Fix, I think his name was, book on running, very popular book. He was jogging, dropped dead. I'm not telling you don't jog. I'm simply saying death can come with a suddenness that shocks. And so it gives us reason to decide for God today. Rise up early like your father in decisions. Act on what God has told you and me. Don't wait. Rise early and respond. Because there may not be another day. And so I ask you, and I don't want a response, is there something you need to do for God that you have been delaying? And you need to make a decision. Perhaps you need to support the church. You need to take that office they've been trying to get you to take. You need to go to that member and say, look, I'm sorry. I did so badly all these years. Or you need to tell someone else, listen, you treated me badly, I've been angry with you, but I forgive you. Or you need to start supporting the Lord's work. Or you need to decide, listen, I need to get to know my neighbors. I've lived here 25 years, I don't know who they are. I need to do this and this and this. Let us as a church now rise up early in the morning and get about the business of doing what we know God has laid on our resisting hearts. Because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Now I'll ask you and I want you to respond. Is there someone here who knows that he or she needs to make a decision with respect to God and has been delaying and wants me to pray for you? Let me see your hand. Stand up with me. You know there's some decision you need to make for God, but there has been a delay. I don't want to know what the delay is. There has been a delay. And we need to rise up early and be decisive. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we apologize to you for playing with you. We confess our sin of procrastination. We are sorry. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us. Father, your children stand before you and there are decisions we need to make. We need to rise early and act on what you have laid on our hearts all these years. And today we're standing to say, Father, we want to procrastinate no more. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, give spiritual guts to those who need to make decisions, that they may make them now and not wait. Father, we have no guarantee we'll see tomorrow. We just have now. And so I ask you, I plead with you, I beg you, give us the strength that we may act, decide for you, and that we may experience the joy and the freedom of having acted and having taken a decision. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus, bless this church. Bless the leadership. Bless the young people. Bless the parents. Let this church rise up and be the beacon of light you would have it to be in this community of Harrisburg. That the work of the gospel may go forward speedily here, if nowhere else. Father, be with me. Help me to make decisions I need to make and let me make them expeditiously. No delay. If I've presented any of these messages in a way that displeases you, I ask you now to forgive me and continue to use me. I offer this prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. God bless you. The love of Christ is in my heart for you. I love you. May God be with you in all that you do. And I hope before Jesus comes, I will have another glorious opportunity to come back to Harrisburg and study God's Word with you. Thank you, and may God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.